93 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Dell Small Business.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Russians have created a memorial of flowers, stuffed animals, and candles outside the concert hall near Moscow, where four men are charged in Friday's terror attack. Killed at least 137 people. CBS's Deborah Pata.
The attack comes after the U.S. shared intelligence with Russia, warning that ISIS was planning to strike and advising its citizens to stay away from concert venues. President Vladimir Putin dismissed the U.S. warning as outright blackmail.
ISIS has claimed responsibility, but Moscow blames Ukraine. Russia is refusing to comment on whether the four suspects were beaten. A judge in New York could set a trial date in Donald Trump's hush money case involving Stormy Daniels today. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
The trial was actually set to start today originally, but it's been delayed because of some last-minute discovery that's come to light. The hearing will be for the judge to make an assessment about what this new material is and whose fault it is that it's come up so late. And he'll actually be deciding if and when the trial can move forward.
Today, also the deadline for the former president to post a bond of $457 million in his civil fraud case in New York. The FAA says it's boosting oversight of United Airlines after its string of mid-air scares. CBS's Elise Preston asked former NTSB chair Robert Sumwalt.
Should passengers be concerned?
I don't think the traveling public needs to be concerned. The regulatory authority is going to make sure that United Airlines is providing the safe service that the traveling public is entitled to.
Reps for the state of Texas will be in court today defending demands for medical records of transgender kids. Reporter Chris Fox.
The national LGBTQ plus advocacy group PFLAG is asking a state judge to temporarily block the Texas Attorney General from demanding it turn over all records related to its support of Texas families seeking transition-related medical care for their kids. PFLAG CEO Brian Bond.
The Attorney General is taking his campaign against our families even further by targeting our organization and trying to scare and silence PFLAG families.
Measles numbers across the country continue to inch up. CDC reports at least 64 cases at the end of last week. That's greater than the 58 reported for all of last year. The only thing missing in Paris was the butter and jam. The race of about 200 waiters took off through the streets for the first time in more than a decade. They were carrying trays heaped with croissants, glasses of tap water, and small coffee cups. Annual contest highlights the Summer Olympics. This is CBS News.
Dell Technologies is celebrating 40 years with anniversary savings on their most popular tech, like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors. Low prices await at Dell.com/deal.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's Republican U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher is resigning. His last day in Congress will be April 19th. Gallagher told the Journal Sentinel that he plans to enter the private sector and spend more time with his family. Due to the timing of his resignation, no special election will be held, and the seat will remain vacant until voters decide on his replacement in November. Governor Tony Evers signed another 44 bills into law on Friday. Among them is a bill that makes it a felony for school staff members to commit an act of sexual misconduct against a student. That includes any verbal or physical conduct that could be considered sexual in nature. Evers said that he's happy to sign the bill, but isn't happy that the bill is needed. Another bill signed into law further restricts strip searches of students by school officials. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles held on to beat Colorado 81-77 in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. Up next, they face North Carolina State Friday night in Dallas. Shaka Smart has Marquette back to the Sweet 16 in just his third year as head coach.
Man, they're a talented, talented team, and they got going in the second half. But our guys never blinked. You know, down the stretch, we got enough defensive stops to win the game.
Bucks head coach and Marquette alum Doc Rivers.
I talked to Shaka after the game, and There were five times I thought tonight where Marquette could have let go of the rope because they kept scoring. Colorado just puts pressure on you.
The Bucks got a decisive win, 118-93 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Bucks host the Lakers tomorrow night. Badgers basketball sophomore guard Connor Asegian has announced he plans to leave Wisconsin and enter the transfer portal after his team lost to James Madison. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rain will develop this afternoon and continue through tonight and into tomorrow with overall rain totals of a half inch to an inch by the time it winds down late tomorrow. Our high today, 52. The wind will be out of the south, 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Rain, windy tonight, 45. Tomorrow, rain will eventually change to a little snow. Our high tomorrow, 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, March 25th, 2024. It's another beautiful but really, really snowy day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're joining us instead on the app or social media or by podcast, we appreciate you being here as well. I always start out with a question for you. What'd you get? What do you got for snow up there? Did you take it in stride, or are you just downright depressed at seeing all of it? Out our window here on the lake, about 10 inches, similar totals in Eau Claire and Menominee reporting around 10 inches. But it basically was the Highway 29 corridor and a little ways north that got the brunt of it. In fact, our friend in Tigerton is near the top of the charts. Tigerton got 12 inches, Burnham Wood 13 inches, Wausau reporting 11 inches of snow, 8 inches reported in Rhinelander, in Crandon, and in Hayward, and then obviously less south of 29, and then some places are getting a rain-snow mix. We're going to move into a rain-snow mix throughout the day here, and we'll talk to meteorologist Brittany Merlot and just a little bit about that. So that was kind of our excitement for the past 24 hours, was watching this stuff just pile up. If you want to let us know what has fallen by you, you can call us or text us. Just text us your snowfall totals at 855-75-CIVIC. Or if you're watching on Facebook, then you can put it in the comments section and we will see it there. What else are we talking about besides the weather here, besides weather and sports? Because we'll have sports as well. The Badger men's basketball team, the Marquette men's basketball team, one of those teams is still alive in the tournament. The Badger women's hockey team competed in the national finals yesterday for the NCAA championship. In the news, Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde didn't win the last time he ran for Senate in 2012. And as we're looking back at some of the comments he made back then, we're starting to understand why. So we'll review some of the things that some of the positions he has taken as he moves into a second attempt to run for office. And by the way, one of the things he said back during his first attempt to run for office is that if he didn't win, he'd never do it again. I mean, just shades of Ron Johnson all over again, you know. And it's also Motherhood Monday. Our friends from Motherhood for Good will be here and share their perspective on the danger to public education posed by far-right conservatives that are trying to take over local school boards. Up North News reporter Selena Heller will join us as well to talk about stories that she's been working on. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has three things you need to know to start the week. And again, the aforementioned Brittany Merlot will tell us more about the weather as we move into either Easter week or spring break week, whatever you want to call it. Easter candy is on people's minds. That's one of the stories on our Up North News daily newsletter in today's edition. You can sign up for the newsletter over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. So the temperatures around the state right now reflect that that line that we're approaching where the snow is going to turn into rain in places. Here in Chippewa Falls, it's 34 degrees right now. Hayward, 31. Park Falls, 31. Wausau's at 32 right now. Green Bay, 37. It's also 37 in La Crosse. Wisconsin Rapids has 33. Oshkosh, 37. Madison's at 39 degrees. And it's 36 degrees right now in Waukesha, where we find the one, the only, Greg Bach, coming off another weekend of working too damn hard. Mr. Bach, how are you?
I'm well.
Do you have snow down there?
What was that?
Do you have snow? What did you get down there?
Okay, so in Waukesha, we got quite a bit. I would say, I'd probably say 4 or 5 inches.
Okay.
In Kenosha, we got next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up and there was like a little on the car, some on the lawn. And by Sunday, anything that did fall, gone.
Yeah. Well, it was like that for us Friday morning. We woke up to, what was it, a couple of inches, and by the end of the day, it was gone.
Yeah.
But that just meant it all could start up again this weekend, which is why we've got the 10 inches now. But it too is going to go quickly. So I have a new term for snow when it falls this late in the year.
Yeah.
Time to release rain. It's just rain in a different form. It's just time released like some medications are. And that rain will... So it's about, they said, about 2.5 inches of liquid equivalent.
Yeah.
So basically, it's 2.5 inches of rain, but we're not going to get it all at once. We're just going to let it seep in there. That's what spring will do.
You're just incapable of accepting snow.
Oh, no. I'm very glass half full about this. It's spring.
It's glass half full of rainwater.
Yes, it is. And that's fine. It's a snow cone that's going to melt very quickly. I can't imagine you watched much of the NCAA men's basketball tournament over the weekend.
I watched.
Given how much you do.
You'll be very proud of me, Pat. I'm kidding. I watched nothing.
I'm very proud of you.
I was working all weekend, and then birthday party for my niece on Sunday, and she's amazing. Little girl, 6 years old. Awesome. But then yesterday I saw Brett Goldstein perform. Brett Goldstein plays Roy Kent. And my wife, who got me the tickets for Christmas, transferred the tickets via the app that we got the tickets from. And I looked at the tickets and I'm like, doors are at 3:00? What is this about? It was a 4 p.m. show.
A 4 p.m. show?
It was a 4 p.m. show, Pat, and it was amazing. It should all be like this.
I'm so happy for you. What a nice gift.
I got out of the show and it was light out. I got home and it wasn't late.
Mm-hmm. See, is it? Well, welcome to my side. Welcome to the dark side where we start to go to dinner now at 4:30 in the afternoon. We were like, what is wrong with us? And now we're like, hey, we like this. Yeah. We're done nice and early.
Exactly.
Well, for people that did watch the tournament, I mean, a lot of people were picking against the Badgers in that 12-5 matchup with James Madison. And we saw why. It was just not, I mean, what I watched was, it's almost as if there was a manhole cover on top of the basket. Everything the Badgers shot at it just would not go in.
Oh, God. It was not so.
I know. So they were one and done. Marquette does move on. Details in a bit here. But I have to tell you about this one first. My favorite thing on Twitter about this was Yale had a big upset over Auburn, I'm not mistaken. Big, big upset. And there's a Twitter handle. The Twitter handle is @YaleMBB. And so everybody was tweeting something about YaleMBB and what a big game it was. Well, then YaleMBB finally put out a post that said, our notifications are blowing up with basketball tweets, but we are the Yale Molecular Biophysics and Biochemistry account. You might want to tag @YaleMBasketball instead.
Not anymore.
But they took it in good stride and then put up a few other things about it, but I just really enjoyed that. Do you know how much money they've estimated gets bet legally on the NCAAs?
$4 billion.
Almost 2.7, almost $3 billion. And everybody's got blown up because so many people picked Kentucky to go deep.
Oh, yeah.
And they were the one we talked about Friday, the 14 that lost to a 3, you know? So I'm really glad I don't put money down on that.
Me
too.
Yeah.
I know. So we'll follow Marquette, obviously cheer for them. But for me, sports-wise, you know what this is. This is opening weekend, opening week for baseball. The Brewers open the season on Thursday at the New York Mets, and then they'll be here next week, Tuesday, for the home opener. But there is one other really important sports note. I think a lot of people may not have caught this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read this breaking sports news, courtesy of former President Donald Trump on his tiny social media account. It is my great honor to be at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach awards night to receive both the club championship trophy and the senior club championship trophy. I won both. A large, talented membership, a great, difficult course made the play very exciting. A large and distinguished group will be there tonight. Very exciting. Thank you. I mean, this is so North Korea. Oh, dear leader, you sank a hole in one on every hole. How did you do that?
It reminds me, this is a very deep cut, but from the movie Mr. Mom, when they go to the boss's house and there's like a weird obstacle course and he's like, yeah, it's going to be funny. Like, well, you're not going to win. The boss always wins. And he's like, no, I'm going to win. And at the very last second, he tanks it for his wife because he doesn't want her to like get in trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and the thing is, Martin Mom's like, I won. Did I win? I won. Oh my gosh, I won.
I'm so surprised. There was a video clip about a week ago that somebody took from afar of Trump playing golf with like three other guys. And, you know, these are all older men, you know, playing golf. And, have some decency, fellas. But no, Trump sank a putt and they were just like cheering. They were jumping up and down for him like, he did it. He did it. It was so surreal.
It's disgusting.
Look at this.
Don't like it, Pat. Make it go away.
Well, you know, that's big sports news. You gotta share some of that. So let me get to some of the others. The Bucks beat Oklahoma City last night, 118-93. The Bucks will be home tomorrow night to take on the LA Lakers. You can hear the Bucks Lakers game tomorrow on Oshkosh Air Support. News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. So for the men, the Badgers lost to James Madison on Friday, 72-61. I could not believe how many turnovers there were, along with the missed extra shots. So that wraps up the season for the Badger men. The Marquette men beat 10 seed Colorado 81-77 yesterday. So now in their third season under coach Shaka Smart, the Golden Eagles, a number 2 seed, have reached the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2013. And so Marquette will next play later this week against 11 seed North Carolina State. The Badger women's hockey team was in the national championship game yesterday. The Badger women, second ranked in the country. They had beaten the top-ranked Ohio State women twice in the past 3 weeks or so, but the Badgers, the defending national champions, couldn't make it happen one more time, falling to Ohio State yesterday by a score of 1-0. And the Badger men's hockey team NCAA tournament pairings were announced. The Badger men's hockey team will play Quinnipiac in their first round game of the NCAA tournament coming up this Friday afternoon at 4:30 in Providence, Rhode Island. So a lot of sports going on this time of year where the winter sports and the spring sports all intersect here. So we'll follow other details throughout the week, but I'm just so happy it's going to be baseball time again. All right, Eric Hovde, he ran for governor last in 2012, probably hoping you forgot some of the stuff that he said, but the internet's forever. So wait till you hear what he said about farmers and should there be a fat tax? He apparently thinks so. That's all coming up live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Up North News Radio.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right.
The Turtles had the number one song this day in 1967 with Happy Together. More musical memories in today's history lesson coming up in about a half hour. In today's daily newsletter from Up North News, Christina Laurie put in, as I mentioned earlier, a story about some of Wisconsin's favorite Easter candies, and also my article on how the Wisconsin Supreme Court's new progressive majority is reforming how the court does business after 15 years of conservative control. On our website, you'll find an article about how a group of basically 80% of House Republicans, including some from Wisconsin, released a new budget proposal last week that calls for raising the Social Security retirement age, restructuring Medicare, severely restricting reproductive freedoms, and more. So again, you can catch that article on our website. And on social media, the Affordable Care Act had its 14th birthday over the weekend. Find out how the Affordable Care Act has been improving lives throughout that 14-year run. And Wisconsin brewers are looking for more locally sourced ingredients for their craft beers. Look for that on our Facebook feed. Just look for Up North News WI as you're searching around Facebook to find our page. All right, now Eric Hovde is a California-based businessman, owner of a bank. He has Wisconsin roots. His family has Wisconsin roots, but a lot of what he does now is out on the West Coast. And much like Tim Michaels from the East Coast, here's somebody with a lot of money saying, I will just come in, remind people that I have spent time in Wisconsin and that I'm the better choice. It didn't work out so well for Tim Michaels, and Eric Hovde's had a bit of a go at it lately with a few missteps, you know, coming out of the chute with his senatorial campaign. One of the most recent ones was on Thursday or Friday, he posted something on Facebook, you know, cheering for the Badgers after he had picked Purdue, by the way, to win the whole thing. But he's in his Badger sweatshirt, which wasn't at all just purchased 5 minutes before because it didn't still have one of the tags on the shoulder of it. Oh, yes, it did. So Eric's not having the best of times here. But that's even just what's happening now. If you go back to some of the things he said when he ran the first time, you might understand why he fell short. It was a bruising primary. There were four candidates in it. Jeff Fitzgerald, I believe, Mark Newman, former Governor Tommy Thompson, and Eric Hovde. And Thompson prevailed. But I was looking back yesterday at an Eric Hovde interview with Wisconsin Eye back on July 31st of 2012. And the way the Wisconsin Eye website is set up, I wasn't able to grab audio off it today or over the weekend. I'll grab that today and play it back at some point for you here, play some clips of it. But I want to tell you about, you know, just some of the things that he did mention in there. Things like overweight people should be charged more for their health insurance. Younger people should have to work well past 65. And that farmers aren't working as hard as in the past. He talked about how the workers of days gone by, farmers included, worked harder and faced more hazards back then. His quote was, "We don't engage in hard labor like we did. We don't have as many accidents on the job. Now we're involved in some type of white-collar profession or even professions that are involved in manual labor. It's much safer, much more protective. Think of farming. Look at the old physical toll that it would take on the body. Now you're largely driving around a tractor." The farmers today who are doing more than largely driving around a tractor might have a thing to say about that. But on the subject of health care, Hovde again reiterated his view back in 2012 that the Affordable Care Act needs to be, quote, completely repealed, without providing much of a plan except to give people support for premiums on the private market, which is a large part of what the Affordable Care Act does. But he also suggested overweight people should pay more for health insurance. His quote said, look, we have an explosion of type 2 diabetes right now. Obesity is off the charts. We're removing people from being responsible for their own health. If they all started to realize that they're going to pay more for their health care by, you know, consuming massive amounts of soda every day or fatty foods or not exercising, maybe they would change their behavior patterns. So Eric Hovde wants to change your behavior pattern by jacking up your health insurance costs. The Daily Beast ran an article about these quotes and talked to Melanie Jay, an associate professor of medicine at New York University. And she said, Hovde's view shows, quote, either you're not understanding or just discriminating against people who have a chronic disease like obesity. It's assuming that obesity is some sort of moral failing that people need to be punished for, which is not true. It's a pretty awful and dangerous thing to say. Because, yeah, sometimes it's bad choices. Sometimes it's genetic. Sometimes it's the effect of prescription medications. It is also the work that you do. But in Hovde's view, apparently you stand on the scale before you pay your health insurance bill. And one more note from that interview, Wisconsin Eye reporter Stephen Walters asked Hovde near the end of the interview about his political future. Again, in that 2012 Republican primary, Walters asks, you're a first-time candidate. If you don't win the primary, do you plan to run for public office again? No, Hovde replied, no. I'm doing this for a very simple reason. I know that my economic skills and my background is something that is desperately needed in the United States Senate right now. I don't plan to spend the rest of my life in politics. Hovde, of course, did go on to lose the primary. He's been a steady financial supporter to Republican candidates ever since. And so I sense some of those audio clips as they come up are going to get a little airplay, and he's going to be asked about them, which ones he still agrees with and which ones that he doesn't. But you contrast what he is saying about, say, you know, the farmers not working as hard as back in the day. And then you've got Senator Tammy Baldwin. I interviewed her yesterday for an interview we'll play back in a couple of days here. And that is because she's at the start of a 5-day statewide tour to highlight some issues in communities all across Wisconsin. It starts later today in Superior, and she's just working her way top to bottom, left to right. She'll be in Superior. Among her other stops, 19 counties, Rhinelander, Wausau, Waupaca, Fort Atkinson, New Glarus, Richland Center, Wisconsin Dells, and a few other communities along the way. And she'll be talking as well about the way that a politician brings home the bacon to farmers and rural areas and the rest of the state, because you'll recall that the federal budget, you know, the thing that always threatened a government shutdown, a deal finally got done once and for all this past week. And in there again were many more examples of Tammy Baldwin bringing home the bacon and making sure that our tax dollars are invested back here in Wisconsin. We're going to contrast that after the next break here to what Derek Van Orden would do with Wisconsin farmers and their international markets. And again, when we play that coming up in a bit, much like Hovde's comments, a bit of a head scratcher. Again, you'd like to have people do a bit more homework before they shoot off their mouths about, you know, Wisconsin farmers and markets and workplace and things like that. But we'll have that. And also, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was on the Sunday morning TV shows, and he was asked about former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. He did not have kind things to say about the person that he appointed to, quote unquote, investigate the 2020 elections and look for some irregularities. Of course, Gableman didn't find any. It was a bumbling and very expensive investigation to the taxpayers. He and Voss had a falling out because Gableman and many others who were willing to do pretty much anything for Donald Trump found in Robin Voss somebody who would do a lot for Donald Trump, but not cross over a certain ethical line like, you know, trying to overturn an election. So we'll get that comment and more ahead on this Monday morning on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air. This report sponsored by Current Electric, home of the superhero. Current Electric, a pioneer in solar energy for residential and commercial in the state. Go to callcurrent.com.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Current Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Current Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
The Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association's got a hot list of bulls they'll be selling the front part of April. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Alan Arndt is not only a beef producer himself in Janesville, he's also president of the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association's board. And he said the bull selection this year reflects what hot breeds we've got in Wisconsin and across the countryside.
We give time and effort into trying to get quality bulls in there. There was a time when there were, three pens of pulled Hereford bulls, and then the demand for those went kind of soft, and we've actually got a pulled Hereford bull back in the sale again this year and had one last year as well. So we've got a Charlet, we've got a Limflex. The majority are Angus, Red Angus, and Simmental influenced or Simmental bulls, but we get all kinds of bulls from whoever wants to nominate them.
Alan Arndt, president of the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association. They're having their 67th annual performance bull sale Saturday, April 6th at the UW-Platteville Pioneer Prairie Farm. But they do have an online option at dvauction.com. You can also find all the data about those bulls at wisconsinbeef.com. Markets and overnight electronic trade on a Monday a little bit mixed. I've got numbers next.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 62 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for March 26th through the 28th at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Friday was a soft day for dairy products. Barrel cheese dropped 4.5 cents to 142.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 0.5 cents, 139.25. Double A butter dropped another penny and a quarter to 280.75 per pound. This morning, we've got April Class 3 milk currently up a dime at 15.67. The May milk is up 8 at 16.24. December new crop corn's unchanged at 4.75. November new crop beans down a penny at 11.86. While July wheat's up 6 right now at 575 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand, rolling into a Monday trade session. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
This is the Shaw WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Rain will develop this afternoon and continue through tonight and into tomorrow with overall rain totals of a half inch to an inch by the time it winds down late tomorrow. Our high today, 52. The wind will be out of the south, 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Rain, windy tonight, 45. Tomorrow, rain will eventually change to a little snow. Our high tomorrow, 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your Realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-LakePoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
like I said, the 60s and the 70s, they were a weird time. When else are you going to get lyrics like Jeremiah was a bullfrog? But we sang it that back then. We sang it loud and proud. It was a great song. The guy that wrote the song was born on this day. We'll tell you more in our history lesson in just a bit. I mean, I'm a Three Dog Night guy. Greg, I don't know.
Hey, that's
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
You're a Three Dog Night guy. I'm a King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard guy. So, you know, hey, we all live in a world together. We exist and be happy with our music.
Yes, exactly. So we all got our thing here, 6:34 now. And on Up North News Radio, let's pick up where we left off talking about farmers. We talked about what Eric Hovde had to say about farmers not working so hard as farmers had to work back in the day. And, you know, Tammy Baldwin, meanwhile, is taking a tour of farms and small businesses around Wisconsin this week to celebrate how hard they're working and the things that they're doing. I haven't had a chance yet to play for you this clip from Congressman Derek Van Orden and something that he said last week during a committee hearing about exporting more U.S. food to foreign countries. You know, we don't hear about that as much as we used to. We used to talk all the time about sending grain to the Soviet Union and sending other foodstuffs around the world to countries in need. I guess over the years, a lot of that food assistance has been replaced with cash assistance. And then, you know, farmers have other ways to get markets for their food. Well, there's a proposal out there that would increase the amount of commodities from U.S. farms and producers that would be shipped overseas to countries in need, countries that can't feed their whole population. China, for example. And after all, we're sending so much money over there in trade, isn't it about time we made a little bit of that money back by, you know, shipping some of our crops and commodities out there? But Congressman Derek Van Orden drew a rather interesting parallel when he was questioning a witness, giving testimony in committee about the proposal. Give a listen to what Derek Van Orden thinks of farmers having a great big market for their crops.
Do you think the United States of America should be feeding Nazi Germany in 1938 before their invasion of Poland in 1939? Should we be providing them with food and aid?
Well, and bringing it up to, you want to talk about China today on that, or?
Well,
you want to talk about Nazi
Germany?
I want to
highlight the fact that right now we are essentially feeding Nazi Germany in 1938. And do you think that that's an appropriate use of American resources? Would it have been then, and is it now with China? Because that's where we're at with China. We're in 1938.
They haven't
invaded Poland yet, but it's on the horizon.
I want to sell as much as we can. We know the demand for protein around the world is continuing to grow at a rapid rate, whether it's India, China, or throughout the developing world in Africa and the Middle East.
I understand my time has expired. I just want to tell you that if I had the choice to sell food and give aid to Hitler in 1938, I would not have done so.
So there you go. Derek Van Orden does not want Wisconsin farmers to be able to have a market in China, or at least an expanding market in China, to ship their food. Unfortunately, or sadly for Wisconsin farmers, they're already used to hearing this kind of thing, because during the Trump administration, you'll recall that there were several trade spats, if not a trade war, with China. And once again, Wisconsin farmers lost a big market for their soybeans. And that when China did need soybeans and other commodities, they could go to Brazil and they could go to other places that had crops that were growing and farmers there who needed markets. You know, when it comes to Wisconsin ag exports, China is Wisconsin's third largest international customer. Over $300 million in sales last year, largely soybeans and pork. And yet Van Orden, who sits on the House Agriculture Committee, is saying that maybe that marketplace shouldn't exist, because to hear him say it, China's about to invade Poland or something along those lines. They're not direct parallels, and it's rather interesting and troubling that's what he thinks of international markets in this day and age for Wisconsin's ag producers. A little closer to home, as I mentioned, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was on one of the Sunday shows, Capital City Sunday, I believe, and he was asked by reporter Matt Smith whether he regretted hiring Justice Michael Gableman to, quote unquote, investigate the 2020 election results in Wisconsin. And Robin Voss did not hold back.
A lot of this, their concern, circles back to the Gableman report. You hired former Justice Michael Gableman to review the 2020 election. Do you regret that hire now?
Of course I do. I mean, I said it 6 months ago that it was the biggest mistake since I became Speaker. I thought that someone who had been elected to the state Supreme Court would have had legitimacy to be able to look at people and say, yes, here are some areas where there are problems, and there certainly were issues in the 2020 election. Many of those were fixed in the 2022 election, and I think even more are addressed for 2024. But Mike Gableman is probably the single biggest embarrassment that I have ever had. I hope eventually he gets disbarred. He should not be an attorney. Anybody who thinks about hiring him, call me, because I will tell you what awful decision that I made to hire Mike Gableman.
So tell us how you really feel, Mr. Speaker. By the way, apologies to Matt Smith. That's from WISN-TV and their Upfront program. But he says, anybody thinking of hiring Gableman, call me and I'll fill you in. To which I would say, Speaker Voss, before you hired him for the investigation, you could have called me. You could have called a whole lot of people who watched Michael Gableman as a Supreme Court justice, who saw him as a candidate for Supreme Court, who ran a ridiculously racist campaign against then-sitting Justice Louis Butler. The man should have been nowhere near a Supreme Court seat, much less serving in it, much less, quote-unquote, investigating an election. No wonder you feel embarrassed by him. You are at least right to acknowledge, yeah, that was a bad, bad move. On the subject of bad moves, and by the way, for folks going, wait, isn't Kristen Lagerle normally here Mondays at 6:30? Yeah, normally she is. She's traveling today. She's going to be joining us tomorrow at 6:30. And she's going to talk a bit about how tomorrow the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be taking up the prospect of perhaps banning medication abortion, mifepristone, is what we're talking about. And given the makeup of this current Supreme Court, it is quite possible that there's going to be another assault on women's reproductive health care rights. So Kristen will have that for us tomorrow. But getting back to news here today, on Friday, Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls closed. The hospital's just closed. They're done. HSHS, this Illinois-based healthcare company, shut them down, along with several clinics, and put some 1,400 people out of work in the area. It's been a sad few days here as people, you know, cleaned out their spaces and left, and now those healthcare facilities are no more. And yet, HSHS managed to, on Friday, put up a Facebook post about the importance of hospitals in our communities. The Facebook post said, they were taking part in the Wisconsin Hospital Association, the WHA, taking part in their advocacy day at the Capitol. So there was a whole bunch of hospital folks, lobbyists and others who were wandering around the Capitol, including apparently people from HSHS. And they put up this social media post. WHA's advocacy day is an important opportunity to share the commitment of our HSHS hospitals to serve the healthcare needs of patients and communities in Wisconsin. We need to remind everyone how vital hospitals are to their communities, especially small rural communities. That was posted without any irony whatsoever, or self-awareness, as the case may be, that they're saying we need to remind everyone how vital hospitals are, especially in small rural communities. Needless to say, the post was taken down. It had been up for about an hour. But at that point, essentially, it was kind of the final twist of the knife by the HSHS folks to put that up there. And all I can hope for is that along with 1,400 people losing their jobs, maybe the person who greenlighted that post became 1,401. If there's any justice out there whatsoever. Oh, let's see. What else have we got? Oh, Greg, look at the adventure I have just found here.
What? Adventure?
Yeah. Here's the adventure. It's called Google signs you out when you're in the middle of something.
Oh, that's been happening to people a lot lately.
It does. It's one of my favorite things. He said, oh, so sarcastically, where, yeah, just in the middle of something, they sign you out. You've got to go figure out what your password is. You sign back in. You tap dance with the person who is nice enough to, host the radio show along with you. And then you wait for Google to comply with your new password and say, oh, there you are. Oh, it is you. I'm so sorry. Didn't mean to doubt you.
Glad I could help.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much, Google. Appreciate that. Where was I? Oh, yeah, we were talking about the HSHS social media post here. And then we were going to... Here's... Should we get into Kate Middleton really quick here?
Sure. Yeah.
Because we... Look, everybody was speculating for... Yeah. For, I think, good reason about her health. You know, obviously people care about it, but also the rather clumsy way in which the royal family handled these things. So on Friday, the Princess of Wales puts out this lovely video, kind of emotional, talking about that it is, in fact, cancer that she's fighting and that she's about to start some chemotherapy and asking for privacy and everything like that. And there were people out there going, you should all be ashamed of yourself. And I'm like, No, I don't. First off, it's the royal family. I wish them well, but they mean nothing to me, one way or another. But if you're in a public role, even if you're going through tough times, there's a lot of people who are going to be looking and filling the void with information if you don't. So I just wanted to acknowledge that they did put the video out. We still don't know what kind of cancer she's facing and all of that. We don't necessarily need to know, but I think sometimes people in public positions, they love all the positive stuff of it and forget that it does comes with its own responsibilities and negative side too. Yeah. And you just have to play on a higher plane than the rest of us, I guess.
And walk a tighter rope.
Yeah, without a doubt. So again, we wish her the best on that. And then there's a national story here about Trump needing money today to post a $500 million bond in the business fraud case against him. He wants to appeal, the half billion dollar ruling that threatens to force him to sell off or close a lot of his businesses. And he, of course, is playing the victim and saying, oh, the courts are coming after me. They're coming after me for this and that and for election fraud and business fraud. I'm such a victim here. And I love that in an interview yesterday, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez made the point. It's not about all these court cases attacking you. It's that you can't stop committing crimes and all of these courts are all investigating you for all these different things. It's not any one thing. It's what you did to try to overturn the election. It's what you did to try to overturn the results in Georgia. It's what you did stealing top secret documents and taking them to Florida. It's the way that you committed business fraud. It's the way that you used hush money and reported it illegally to cover up an affair. That's just called accountability. The fact that these things are all happening after you leave office is not a coincidence because you can't prosecute a sitting president. So these things are coming down now. But here's the suspicious thing. Somebody named Jeff Yass, I don't know who this person is, but said he's buying Trump's social media network, Truth Social, for $3 billion. Trump owns Truth Social. So that's a $3 billion cash infusion so that he can pay off that bond, perhaps. And you'll notice that Donald Trump has done a 180 on TikTok. Initially, he favored a ban of it. But now he doesn't, a stance which would preserve Jeff Yass's $30 billion stake in TikTok. As one person said on social media, if this happened in any other country, we'd refer to them as oligarchs. But here it's just another day in the life of following Donald Trump. Today's history lesson and musical memories coming up live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Up North News Radio.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes?
With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
It's one of those where you got to get it in one note. And you could from that very opening piano riff. Elton John is 77 today.
Lord.
We talked about that this weekend with people who had went to see Bruce Springsteen. Who were a couple of the other, we talked about Mick Jagger. There was somebody else we talked about how the way that they can still have such a stage presence and still move from somebody you would not believe is in their late 70s, early 80s. And it really is just a case of use it or lose it. You know that they all know if they stop touring, if they stop performing, it's just right away. They're gonna look like, White Gooden at the end of Dodgeball, just sitting in that bed with a bucket of fried chicken. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I went to go see the Police reunion tour in 2007, and at one point I was like trying to calculate their age on stage. I was like, oh my god, these guys are like 170 years old between, and they were rocking so hard.
Oh yeah. Well, I was talking yesterday to my friend Jim Zons, who is a videographer, and he shot the interview that I did yesterday with Senator Tammy Baldwin, and he was on. He shot some of the final Kiss concerts and met the guys backstage and talked about what it's like to meet guys in their early 80s, in full makeup, all the chest hair hanging out there, but they're still, you know, playing up on stage, getting the show done. So, good for them. Sarah Jessica Parker is 59 years old today. And if what was her, was it Freaks and Geeks? Was it Square Pegs? She had some show.
It was Square Pegs.
Yep. And, as a high school kid, and it's kind of odd, although she's the same age as me now, but time is undefeated. Look at this one. Gloria Steinem, the feminist and activist, 90 years old today. Happy birthday to her. This is the anniversary of the birth of Aretha Franklin. She was born this day in 1942. What you want, baby, I got. Now, that was 82 years ago. She passed away in 2018 at the age of 76. On this day in the year 421, the Italian city of Venice was founded. And I can't do a good Woody Allen impression, but it never occurred to somebody in the crowd to go, excuse me, little problem here. Your city is full of water. But no, they said, hey, this is a great place for a city. Let's put it right here. And people still like to travel. It's not on my bucket list, Greg. I don't know about you.
Italy, I want to go to Italy, but I...
Italy, yes.
But my wife lived there for a year. She lived in Italy for a year. And I said, when we go someday, just you direct me and we'll go.
Sounds like a wedding. Just tell me where to be.
I'll just be my tax data. I'll be there on time. Yeah, I mean, I want to go to Italy, but like, I don't know. It's just... Lately, it's been less and less. Like, I want to go more to France and to New Zealand and Japan. But that's another conversation.
I think Powerball is approaching $500 million.
Totally.
That other one is over $1 billion. So, that could happen this week yet.
I mean, if I win the lottery, I'll just buy Greenland.
This is the anniversary of the birth of sports broadcasting legend Howard Cosell, born this day in 1918, passed away in 1995. And I bring it up just so I can play back one of my favorite Howard Cosell calls, because I watched him and listened to him do a lot of boxing matches, Monday Night Football, baseball. But it was this boxing call that will always stick with me.
Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer, right next to me is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier. The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Here's the reason I don't watch, you know, like MMA fights and things today. Those boxing matches that Howard Cosell called with Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, In my mind, you're never going to top that. You're never going to top it. They were so good.
Yeah. I mean, they're not as, I don't know. Even back then, you knew how legendary these fights were. And nowadays, like, there's a UFC fight every weekend. And
yeah.
Who cares? I will say, when Frazier goes down, that's what I've always thought is when Frazier goes down, you think when Ali hits him, like, there's just like this bag of bricks that just goes down. He just started like, I fell on my duff. And then he just stays on his duff.
Oh, yeah, because the little birds were flying all around his head, yeah. This is the anniversary of the birth of singer-songwriter Hoyt Axton.
You made up that name.
He was an actor as well, passed away in 1999. But among the songs that he wrote were Joy to the World that we heard earlier from Three Dog Night, Ringo Starr and the No-No song, and here's another Three Dog Night jam.
Will I know?
Never Been to Spain, one of many songs written by Hoyt Axton. We've already played the Turtles, Happy Together, number one this day in 1967. Here's one. America, the band America, their first single, A Horse with No Name, went to number one on the charts this day in 1972.
You see, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name.
No, guys, sound more like Neil Young.
In the desert, you can't remember your name.
I think as I was working through the music notes for this week, I think later in the week we're going to get into songs with the worst lyrics ever. And there's a line in this one that qualifies for that. Canadian singer-songwriter Jeff Healey was born this day in 1966. This was his big hit. Jeff Healey, born this day in 66, passed away in 2008 at the age of 41 from cancer. On the international calendar today is International Waffle Day, which is weird because it's called the International House of Pancakes. But I guess today the waffles
get their turn.
Thank you very much.
I thought it was this International Just Can't Make a Decision Day. Hey!
Oh, I like that. Today is Lobster Newberg Day. I did not look up what exactly makes it. What makes it Newberg? I don't know. It's the International Day of Remembrance for the victims of slavery and the transatlantic slave trade. And it is Medal of Honor Day to remember all the recipients of the Medal of Honor, one of the highest awards offered here to Americans. And then Milwaukee's own Jim Lovell, the astronaut from both Apollo 8 and Apollo 13, he is 96 years old today. We'll maybe talk more about Jim Lovell a little bit later on in our next hour. We'll also visit with our friends from Motherhood for Good as they talk about the importance of school board elections and much more. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
innovative research, educational resources, supportive community.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Ryan.